Blog Talk Radio.
Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mic. It's January 23rd, 40 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York, and cloudy with winds out of the southwest at 24 miles an hour, and it's quite dreary. It's overcast, not only outside, but in our body politic here in these United States. President Trump, I can barely get it out, I tell you. Trump, the brain-dead comic carnival barker, was inaugurated on Friday. I didn't watch, and I know quite a few persons that didn't watch. And it's been a mess ever since. He hasn't lost one opportunity to denigrate folks that disagree with his assessments, his opinions, his beliefs, his hopes, fears, and everything else. Namely, that his inauguration was the biggest, most widely watched spectacle in the history of American politics, which is anything but the truth. The Women's March, which happened on Saturday, January 21st, was a much larger, much more widely reported event. And then it was a couple of groups that I certainly support that were in attendance at both events. So now we've been saddled with this clown. We have to figure out what we're going to do in order to get our house in order, literally and figuratively speaking. I've been on social media all weekend, but you know, really avoiding the news. Watched a great deal of football over the weekend. Well, not a great deal. It was only two games left. It was Green Bay in Atlanta earlier on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, Atlanta won that game. You know, Atlanta just came out of nowhere. I'm not really familiar with Atlanta. I know that Bolden, one of the guys who used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles when I was following them prior to Chip Kelly coming in and dismantling that franchise. I used to watch them every once in a while because I liked this running back. A wide receiver, rather. I would have thought it would have been a marquee team, Seattle or Carolina, or, you know, someone like that that would have done what Atlanta has done this year. They've been phenomenal. And on the other side, AFC, it was New England. And Pittsburgh, I knew Pittsburgh wasn't going to win that game. It just, you know, that's a story franchise. I mean, Pittsburgh and New England, they both cold weather teams, both with vet quarterbacks. But I just thought that, you know, New England was going to pull it out, and they did. And they're going to beat Atlanta. So you can rest assured that it's going to be New England the champs of the Super Bowl on February 5th, Sunday, my birthday, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have a huge party here. We're organizing it now, and I can literally cannot wait. It's going to be a tremendous amount of fun, good food, have a wonderful time, you know, and sort of get away from, you know, the sadness that permeates, you know, the fact that we have a president that's not worthy to position the guy, you know, by intellect, by temperament, by character. He is just not anyone, you know, because, you know, ultimately what you want to do is you want someone that's president, someone that's in that role, you know, arguably the biggest role on the face of the earth, that is a role model. You know, just like my parents were role models for me, and, you know, they had heroes, and, you know, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and, you know, to a lesser extent, Malcolm X, you know, he was considered too radical to be a role model, but certainly, you know, he grew into the role later in his life, just prior to his assassination. But the point I'm trying to make here is that when you train up your children, you know, like when I talk to my son, because black boys don't get a chance to make the same mistake that white boys do, and I want him to avoid, you know, the headaches associated with getting in trouble, with not being ethical, with, you know, lying, stealing, and that sort of thing. And then we have a guy that we've just elected president that, you know, a huge percentage of Americans, not overwhelming percentage by any means, stretch of the imagination, has chosen to overlook these character flaws and overlook his constant lying. And that's not something we would tolerate from our children. Why would we tolerate it from the most powerful man on the face of the earth? I don't understand that. And call me naive, call me foolish, but, you know, or even simplistic. I don't really care. But, you know, I am literally, and I have never in my adult life been at a loss for words, but I'm literally lost by the backlash. Some call it white lash, that has propelled Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker into the most powerful position on earth. There is, you know, there's some scuttlebutt out, and I believe this is very plausible, and I've been writing about it, blogging about it all weekend. Robert Reich, former Labor Secretary in the Clinton administration, now a professor at UC California Berkeley Public Policy, said that he talked to one of his Republican friends over the weekend. I don't know if it was this weekend or last weekend, but he just wrote the blog, so we have to assume it was this weekend. And the guy said, yeah, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing. I should have pulled it up so I could read it, because it's really telling, and it's something that I've always believed. But it said basically that, you know, yeah, we're gonna allow, you know, Trump to, you know, roll back everything, the social safety net, treaty obligations, all sorts of, you know, agreements that we have in the world with other countries, other country states, and environmental regulations, already going after the climate, the Paris Climate Change Agreement, which we signed. We're signatories to, and we're going to let him take credit for it. And then as soon as he breaks the law, which is going to be very shortly, then we're going to impeach him and install Pence, Mike Pence, as president, and probably Ryan as his VP. You know, which is even more frightening prospect, because, you know, Pence is to the right of Attila the Hun. And he's a hypocrite. He had a guy, I was just reading an article, and again, I really should have pulled this up, but I seen it weeks ago, and I only breezed through it because, you know, this was so much information you can consume. And apparently there was a guy that was wrongly convicted in Indiana, and I'm laughing derisively, not because it's humorous, black man. He was exonerated, And Pence refused to do something. I'm going to look this up on a break because I want to be absolutely accurate. I don't want to do the things that we're accusing the Republicans of doing, which is spreading false news in order to promote your agenda. But he's run, Pence has run Indiana into the ground, literally and figuratively speaking. And he would just be a rubber stamp for every reactionary policy that the conservatives and the teabaggers, and he's a teabag darling in the Congress would have. I mean, literally, we would be beset with a bunch of radical conservatives for the foreseeable future because the Republicans have just been played a better game at rigging the system. You know, we, especially the African American policy. And I stay on them because I believe that when they get elected, we didn't march, we didn't get busted in the head like John Lewis in the late 50s, early 60s. So these people could reign in office in perpetuity while really progressive, young, dynamic talent waits impatiently in the wings for these people, these relics, to get out of the way and allow them to lead. Oh, no, it's not your turn. It's his turn. You know, these people are 60, 70, 80 years old. When is it going to be someone in their 20s, someone in their 30s, someone in their 40s that has, 20, 30, 40 years of public service ahead of them? When is it going to be their turn? So at any rate, we have a lot of Negro politicians that are as bad, if not worse, than, Elijah Cummings comes to mind. You know, he's on social media and all the news outlets where we can get his face plastered, talking about how bad Trump is. And you look at Cummings' district in Baltimore. He's been in there like 7-8 terms. He's he came in '96. He's a lawyer by training, and Baltimore has been devastated under his watch. You have about 3 or 4 administrations, mayoral administrations that have come and gone under his watch, and the city has deteriorated to a place that is virtually uninhabitable now. And he lives on the west side, not too far from Pennsylvania Avenue, where the riots took place in the wake of the Freddie Gray verdict. And so, and the reason I mention Cummings is because he's emblematic of a lot of black politicals that we have that cause, another one who is from South Carolina, can't think of his name now, it'd come to me, because I was also thinking about him. He's like third in charge of black Republican, black Democrat from South Carolina. And, we were talking during the campaign, Jim Clyburn. And he's been in the House. He's very powerful. He's been in there for God knows how long. Born in 1940, so he's clearly in his 70s. He's the third ranking Democrat in the House, behind House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Minority Whip Steny Hoyer. And 1993, another one. So we were complaining as black media outlets that none of the Clinton campaign and it's a women's organization that promotes progressive candidates for office. I can't think of it, something fun. It'll come to me. Had basically not spent any money with black media. And we said this over and over again. Even we said it right here on the show, Mark and Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly. And not one single one. Finally, it was only one guy, a writer Sean from the Daily News, New York Daily News, that spoke on this, that said anything about the fact that the Clinton, which was a washing cast, literally a wash. So she lost it was a disastrous decision. She lost with predictable, was a predictable result as a consequence, because she didn't energize anyone. No one was energized by her campaign. She didn't talk about black issues, what she was going to do, and she's a well-known hawk. In other words, someone that is very aggressive, in terms of foreign affairs and. Actors that we feel aren't in our best interest. So she would have possibly taken a harder line stance against Syria and enacting a no-fly zone, which would have possibly increased tensions with Russia. Now, in an all-out war with Russia, we would probably prevail, but, a lot of our people would get killed too, and, sort of loss of life and treasure. You have to be careful, and this is why it's so frightening that Trump, Trump, the brain-dead comic carnival barker, is in office, because he's not a deliberative. He doesn't consider anything. Everything he does is instinctual. It's reduced to the vestigial, primordial, or, it's just pure instinct, like an animal. He doesn't fully analyze, digest. As a matter of fact, I was telling a friend of mine the other day that he said he doesn't like to read, flat out. He said the intelligence briefings are too dense. He wants bullet points. He doesn't need to sit there and sift through 200 pages. I doubt that the intelligence briefings are 200 pages. The presidential daily brief is just that. A presidential daily brief is very concise. And if he's not, and then the other part of it is, and I was just thinking about this, there was a picture in the New York Times this morning. You can go to the New York Times and look at it, with Jared Kushner, who is his daughter Ivanka's husband, being sworn in. Sworn into what? When has he been vetted? Typically when you're going for a TCI top secret clearance, TS clearance. That involves the FBI. That's not, forget about the Office of Government Ethics. That involves a full FBI background check, fingerprint, not only to determine if you have no criminal background, but, then they go further than that, and they interview, your friends and acquaintances. They look at your finances. They look at any lawsuits you may have been involved in, for the specter of, your sexual habits, your drug habits, if any, for anything that could possibly compromise you for that role. When has Kushner ever gone through any of this? Any of these people? The Trump administration is trying to ramrod through all these nominees. That's why they've had like 7-8 nominees, and thank God the Democrats, who have no power in the Congress as a consequence of their own stupidity, but they managed to push back on a lot of these conferees, nominees, but eventually a lot of them are going to get through. Jeff Sessions at Justice is going to be an absolute disaster. And, hold on to your seats, kids, because we're going to be in for a ride. Let's take a quick break and come back on the other side of the break.
The Endangered Species Act of 1973 was signed into law by President Richard M. Nixon on December 28, 1973. It was designed to protect critically imperiled species from extinction as a consequence of economic growth and development untempered by adequate concern and conservation. The U.S. Supreme Court found that the plain intent of Congress in enacting the ESA was to halt, reverse the trend towards species extinction, whatever the cause. A species is considered to be endangered if it's in danger of extinction throughout its lifespan or a significant portion of its habitat habitat is threatened, destroyed, or invaded, or if it is likely to become an endangered species within the foreseeable future. Then why are black boys on this list? Black boys are an endangered species. Please go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO and contribute generously to help us build an alternative school for these boys that will become a national model for educational innovation. Again, go to GoFundMe and to our campaign at /PLZ2MO.
And you're back, tuned into the Marketing Pulpit New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, 10:50 a.m., 40 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York. Winds out of the southwest at 24 miles an hour. It's very windy and, you know, looks like a little rain. Very overcast, which is, you know, consistent with how a lot of us feel, given the Trump administration is taking the reins of power. You know, I'm writing a book, and the beauty of writing a book is that, you know, I started about 3 years ago, three, 4 years ago, and, you know, it's very arduous work. I was talking to a friend of mine, a lawyer friend, we grew up together, and she represented that. She would shop it for me as my agent, even though we run a management company, but still, you know, oftentimes it's beneficial to avail, you know, yourself of, you know, delegate, you know, basically, you know, allow other people to do what they do and do well. So we're going to get it out. I promise to get it out this year. So anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that I can update using contemporary information. So to be fresh, that's the beauty of it. It'll be fresh. I don't want it to be crazy in the sense that, you know, I'm just talking strictly about the Trump administration. But certainly, you know, I can use a lot of, you know, it's a lot of material there and keep the book relevant. So, you know, I'm very happy about the fact that, you know, I've been reinvigorated, so to say, in completing this book, you know, halfway through. And I figure if I can write every day, if I could just focus and concentrate, God willing, you know, I should have, you know, something that can be edited. And by the way, I'm looking for editors, so if you know any editors out there, give us a call at 347-846-8447. Again, that number is 347-846-8447. Better yet, email us at dennis@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Dennis, D-E-N-N, at EASTNYmanagement.net. And you can also visit us at our website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Again, that URL is eastnewyorkmanagement.net or .com. We own both domains, so if you go to .com accidentally, you'll simply be redirected to .net. And, you know, frankly, I'm looking for an editor because I'm gonna give what I'm writing down and then let someone else go through it and sort of bring it together for me. You know, certainly not rewrite it. Not looking for that. I'm looking for someone that wants to work collaboratively with me, and we see where we go from there. So back to Trump. So he spent his whole entire weekend railing against the media for the paltry size of his inauguration crowd. You know, the guy's so thin-skinned, it's ridiculous. And, you know, there's no doubt about it. And if you're that naive, you don't believe this, that's fine. But Trump is going to get us embroiled in a war. And I'm young enough to be drafted. I won't be the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or maybe even sixth or seventh choice. But persons in my age range can be drafted and are worn-out troops. You know, we're fighting three, four different wars, and we're not even talking about spec ops, which are all over the place, Africa, Asia. God knows where these guys are operating. Are worn-out. So, you know, if he embroils us into a war with China, who he's been poking relentlessly prior to his inauguration, you know, it's gonna get real ugly real quick, because China has a vast army. They have like a million. You know, army is really supposed to be, if you're talking about quantifying it, army is supposed to consist of a million boots. And China has a million boot army. There's no doubt about it. So, and they have, you know, advanced weaponry and know how to use it. Just because they haven't been embroiled in any wars anywhere don't mean that they don't exercise and they don't train. So I think it would be foolish of us to assume that we could just run over the Chinese, because it wouldn't happen. And I think that the Trump administration poking the bear, so to say, or in this case, the panda, is not a wise idea. Let's take another break real quick, and then we'll come back and finish up.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop or pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
You're back on Market Bubble International, New York edition of yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, 10:56 a.m., January 23rd, Monday, cloudy and cool, 40 degrees with winds out of the southwest at 24 miles an hour. Talking about Trump, brain dead comic Carnival Barker, and his administration has failed inauguration. And what we as progressives, I'm not a Democrat, by the way, not a Republican, not a Libertarian. If any party, if I associated myself with any party, it would probably be the Working Family Party. But I've decided it's much easier to just simply remain unaffiliated, which gives me a lot of latitude. Now, in closed primaries, obviously, it hinders my ability to exercise my franchise because I'm unable to vote. You know, if you have to be either Republican or Democrat, two major parties. But in an open primary, I can certainly vote, and certainly did cast my vote in this election and cast it for Hillary Clinton. Not that I was enamored of her, but she was the obvious choice. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I wasn't going to, voter protest vote. And, you know, the irony, and this is something that we haven't talked about, and I need to talk more about it, and celebrate. You know, because one thing that white people do is they celebrate their women. They really, really do. Donald Trump is anathema. He's an anomaly, rather, in that regard. You can see how he treated Melania. Then I can get into that in a whole entirely separate show. But black women, almost to a woman, voted for Hillary Clinton. They tried to save us from ourselves. And the few 6% of us that did vote for Trump, I would say 90% of those were black males, you know, disaffected, silly, naive, ill-informed, poorly educated, just like the white folks that voted him in office. And we're going to talk about this more over the coming months. Right here on the Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman. And don't forget to listen to the rest of my co-hosts and colleagues at Marketing Pulpit International, 10:30 every day, and Friday and Saturday. Have a good week.
Summertime, you got the windows rolled down. My sister loud, upper sounds get drowned. Kind of a king, but I got the humblest of crowns. Quite cautious, look around, tag my name a while back, but I can see they took it down. Wow. trees under the clouds.
We're on Pennsylvania Avenue, we rolling the ground. Because it's summertime, you got the windows down.
I'm down my real pipe, cut it at the speed of light. I hit a hill, switch gears into a lighter one. Made it to the top and look down, people, what I have done. Water bottle before I hit full throttle. Just a sip cause the cramp could cause problems. I part low so I turn up the volume. Gliding down the strip with no hands, people around too. But I don't even notice none of that. I'm more focused on the road, plus the music in the backpack. Grind, that's the sound of me pedaling. Road to rock, we pop and shoot in Maryland. Cruise control down the hill, we rolling. Had to pause for a moment until I heard the phone ring. I bet I'm on the way. Took this journey in reverse and headed back to where I came.